to the debate. I'm Kaveh Taqwayi. A decade after the U.S.-led invasion, Iraq is still grappling not only with an escalating crisis between the Shia-led governments of Nouri al-Maliki and an increasingly disaffected Sunni minority, but with an intensifying ethnic crisis fomenting in an increasingly defiant and heavily armed Kurdish region. Now, in this debate, we're going to examine whether regional Arab countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar are contributing to this ethnic tension just like they are in Syria, and review the possibilities of how this kind of interference can lead to a regional war.
A new series of deadly bomb blasts has rocked the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. Ambulances are seen rushing to the scene of an explosion. In the distance, smoke billows from the site of a bomb blast.
I heard an explosion, then followed by another five blasts. One of the explosions was at the Justice Ministry. What have those innocent people done to deserve this?
These are normal scenes in Iraq as political tensions have heightened. Iraqi officials have blamed such terrorist attacks on foreign governments, which Baghdad says are bent on destabilizing the country by encouraging bombings and fueling political tensions. In western Iraq in particular, tensions have been rising. The region has been the scene of numerous protests against the government of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki in recent months. The demonstrators have claimed that Maliki has marginalized the Sunni minority in power sharing. The government has said the protests have been instigated by countries like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey. It is suggested that members of Al-Qaeda terrorist groups are among the protesters and that they may ignite deadly clashes with the army. This is while the Kurds in the north have accused Maliki of ignoring them by approving the country's federal budget while their lawmakers were absent from parliament. Kurdish ministers have suspended their membership of the cabinet to pressure the Iraqi premier over the federal budget for the Kurdistan region. Iraq's federal government has criticized the Kurdistan region for establishing ties with foreign countries like Turkey and signing oil contracts with international companies without Baghdad's approval, something Baghdad considers a violation of the Iraqi constitution. Iraq has warned repeatedly that sectarian strife is looming, with Maliki's opponents threatening to take arms against his government in a Syria-style scenario. But the question is whether the anti-Iraq campaign has been given the green light by the West.
Just one of the questions we're going to ask our guests in this edition of the debate. Let me introduce them. We have Saad al-Mutalabi. He's from the State of the Law Coalition, and he joins us from Baghdad. And from Washington, we have Edward Peck. He's a former U.S. Chief of Mission in Iraq. Gentlemen, welcome. Saad al-Mutalabi, why has Iraq witnessed such increased violence recently?
Thank you very much. It's quite unusual. We had a report today published on The Guardians. In The Guardians, and they talk about sources within the Anbar province of clear citing that they have received support with equipment and finances from Gulf states. Now, this is disturbing in the essence that we have now a report on behalf of the insurgents and the terrorists themselves citing and declaring that they are receiving military hardware and support and financial backing from the Gulf states. This is one issue that the United States should stand firm against and should assist Iraq in combating such transition of disturbing issues that could destabilize Iraq and could destabilize the region. Hence, there is the danger of interfering from neighboring countries further than the financial support, because that could increase the dependency on international or regional support, where Iraq, if faces problems, Iraq will definitely try to align itself to certain elements within the region to defend its democracy. Therefore, I think that we have entering a very worrying stage, and I think there is grounds now for the United States to interfere directly with the Gulf states in efforts to stop such meddling in Iraqi affairs.
Unless it's with the consent or knowledge of the United States. We're going to get to that. And I like the way you eloquently have put some of the statements without actually mentioning some specifics, which I'm going to ask you. But Edward Peck, is the U.S. aware of this, or is the U.S. giving the green light of what our guest there said, support from Persian Gulf states coming in the form of military hardware and financial support?
Well, you know, the word green light is kind of evocative because they don't need a green light from us to do what they're doing. They can do it. Any country can do whatever it wishes without permission from somebody else or a green light. And by the same token, when it's suggested that we should stop them from doing this, we would do it by talking. We're certainly not going to attack them. We're certainly not going to try to interfere physically with whatever they're doing. So if we are talking with the Gulf states, which are being accused of involving themselves in Iraqi internal troubles, we would do it quietly, not publicly. And it is unlikely that those of us who are not in the government, any government, would know about it. But I don't think that in Iraq today, I was there very briefly in December, but never got outside the green zone. The troubles in Iraq are domestic and internal. They're religious, they're cultural, they're historic, and nobody really needs to become involved from outside for them to have trouble all by themselves.
But okay, then let me stop you there. I'm sorry to jump in. Sarah Matalabi, do you agree with that? Do you agree with what Edward Peck said there? Edward Peck, hold your thoughts. Sarah Matalabi, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
No. I mean, there is certain facts to what Basda says, but in reality, what we are facing now in Iraq, with the whole picture, was caused by incorrect policies that were committed directly by action, by United States action within Iraq, not by talking, but actual action and deciding the policy of Iraq by the United States, allowing the Kurdish region to expand over its size, allowed certain elements within the Sunni population to gain support and gain financial backing. That was the doing of the United States. Iraq did not have this problem before the Americans entered into Iraq.
Well, why don't you mention the country, Saad al-Matalabi, because they're alleged here that Saudi Arabia and Qatar are, in a sense, undermining the democracy, as fledgling as it is, inside Iraq.
To be honest, we have noticed a trend in improving or efforts to improve relationships between Iraq and Saudi Arabia. We've seen some signals from Saudi Arabia that leads us to understand or hope that there is a light in the end of the tunnel, but that doesn't go for Qatar and other Gulf states that have links with the insurgents and with the terrorists, and in particular Al-Qaeda in Western Iraq. And as I said, today's Guardian report was very disturbing because it actually talked to groups that were within the Al-Qaeda organizations and now are realigning themselves with the tribes and with other insurgent groups and preparing with the support of the Gulf states into a new wave of terrorism within the region.
Well, Edward Peck, Iraq's national security advisor has said that Qatar and other Arab countries, Qatar was the only one mentioned by this security advisor, well, they're involved with financing this Jabhat al-Nusra group, which is the group that's responsible, al-Qaeda-related, inside Syria. And you mentioned that the U.S. Would be talking quietly. Wasn't the U.S. behind this group until very recently? And aren't there talks, which I'm sure part of it, when it's on Syria, involve Iraq?
Well, yes, and to answer your question, let me go back to what the other gentleman said. I certainly agree that many of the troubles that Iraq is having today are the result of America's invasion and involvement. I certainly think that that's the case. But what I was trying to get across is that if country X, whichever country it is, wishes to involve itself in the troubles in another country, it doesn't need permission from us, nor will it accept instructions from us to stop that if it sees those actions as being in its own self-interests. So the problem in Iraq today was not created when America arrived. There's always been a Shia-Sunni problem, and the Kurds were seeking independence and other things there long before the Americans became directly involved. And now, since it's become sectarian, with all sorts of people interested in having it go this way rather than that way, I think it's reasonable to suggest, to accept, that some countries are involved. Think of all the countries that would be involved in wanting to see things go a certain way, from Israel, from Turkey, from Iran, from Bahrain, from Qatar, from Saudi Arabia, even from the United States. And some of them are actively involved, I'm sure of it. But it isn't our job to stop them because they won't listen. And it certainly was not our okay that gave them, you know, the chance to do it. That's something they've been wanting to do ever since the troubles started.
Well, Saddam al-Talibi, if we want to backtrack and rewind back to December of 2011, that's when the U.S. final withdrawal supposedly was done. It coincided with the arrest warrant of Tariq al-Hashimi. And that was a golden opportunity, wasn't it, for Saudi Arabia and Qatar to ramp up this ethnic or sectarian issue a notch higher, even though Edward Peck says that that always did exist. Do you agree with that?
Well, in reality, the issue of Tariq al-Hashimi failed miserably. I mean, Tariq al-Hashimi failed to incite further violence between Sunnis and Shia, because he was a criminal and he was not close, it seems, to the other Sunni leaders. So his efforts to incite violence wasn't very successful. But now, we, after the start of the U.S. support to elements of the Syrian Free Army, alongside the Turkish support and the Qatari support to Al-Qaeda in Syria under the name of Jabhat al-Nusra, now we see a different picture. Now we see a return of violence back again from Syria, reaching into Iraq with the supposedly with the blessing and the green light from the United States, because when Britain and France and the States do not object to arming militias in Syria, that is the Iraqi, the Western province, seizes as an extension of the Syrian Free Army, and they, as probably people would know, that the Syrian Free Army was raised in Western Iraq by elements of, I don't know, they're Iraqis or Syrians. But anyway, the flag was raised, and there is traffic going both ways in that area. So we do have the Syrian issue is spilling over Iraq, and that's what we want from in the beginning, and that will naturally drive us to take a defensive position regarding this issue, because we have an obligation to defend our country and defend democracy in Iraq.
Very well. You raised some points, and I know you have a reaction, Edward Peck, but first, let's look at how Iraqis are accusing this so-called Qatar-Turkey-Saudi Arabia alliance of conducting this orchestrated campaign, by some accounts, against Iraq and the federal government there, and cancel any regional role of Baghdad as a result that might counter the agenda in the Middle East. How is Nouri al-Maliki's government going to deal with this? What steps are they going to take? As our guest Saddam al-Talabi said, there is there any green light from the West, i.e. the U.S.? Let's take a look at some of the Facebook comments on this.
Ali Hamdani: whoever says Maliki is not a good leader must first check that alliance where kings are still ruling in this advanced world. Maliki, however, was elected by democratic vote. Hudaifa: Though I don't support this political alliance of Saudi Arabia and Qatar, I believe Iraq would be much better without Nouri al-Maliki, who is just a Shiite version of Saddam. Ahsan Raja, we Shia don't like violence. We love unity, but the Saudi Arabian government is killing innocent people in the world. They are the terrorists, as well as America and Israel. Hutchison Mahipi, the Americans claim that Iraq will be insecure when they leave. They want to prove this by bombing Iraq with the help of the CIA and their armed wing, Al-Qaeda.
All right, that was some of the Facebook comments that we did receive on this. Edward Peck, before I ask you for a reaction on that, your reaction on what Saddam al-Talabi said before we took a break into the Facebook comments?
His analysis is intelligent and rational and reasonable and well-informed. And that doesn't mean I necessarily agree with every part of it, but he is clearly an individual who is knowledgeable about the subject that he's covering. But we know from other places in the world that if there is a religious group that is facing troubles caused by another religious group, then those people will find backers from outside their own country who are interested in supporting their religious brethren or their national brethren or their racial brethren all over the world.
Well, tell us who these religious groups are, Edward Peck.
Be more specific, please. The Americans.
If you can, please be more specific. Who are these religious groups you're referring to? Who are the backers that you say they're looking from outside, in your opinion?
Well, let's take the Kurds. The Kurds in northern Iraq have Kurds in Iran, in Syria, and in Turkey. And the people who are Kurdish in those areas, who have always wanted a nation of their own, are probably interested in supporting the Kurds financially. And I don't say that they're doing it for the purposes of killing and bombing, but they're interested in having the Kurds get some semblance of self-government and maybe even independence. That's understandable. The same thing applies to Shia people elsewhere in the world. It applies to Sunni people elsewhere in the world. And the Americans, who don't have that kind of interest, only want to see, they say, a peace and stability throughout the region. But we are the ones who created the circumstances or contributed to the creation of the circumstances that Iraq is facing now. By removing from power a powerful man who at a minimum, despite what other problems there were, and there were some, kept the country at least in a semi-unified situation. Same thing happened in Yugoslavia some years ago, happening in Egypt now and elsewhere. So I do believe that there are many people outside Iraq who would be interested in seeing one side or the other prevail inside Iraq. And that would be happening even if the United States did absolutely nothing and said absolutely nothing to any of the people out there in the surrounding areas. That's my view.
Okay, well, Saddam al-Talabi, since we want to focus a little bit more about the Saudi and Qatari factor here, can you give us your thoughts about the arrest of the 9 bodyguards, which happened in December 2012, of the finance minister? Tell us what benefit, for example, Saudi Arabia and Qatar would have in keeping the central government of Maliki busy with issues inside Iraq in terms of what is going on in Syria.
This is actually one of the a unique case, which is quite strange, because the His Excellency, the Minister of Finance, knew that his head bodyguard was wanted by the police and wanted by the army. And he was in hiding for the last 6 months. And on a Thursday, he calls him and asks him to come to report to duty within the international zone, the fortified the international zone, which there are specified gates. You can only enter through certain gates, and you will be checked thoroughly. So when this head bodyguard came, the lieutenant colonel, he came to the green zone, immediately he was arrested. And hence he reported on the other colleagues who also became arrested. And so the whole incident was caused by the Minister of Finance himself, who knew that his bodyguard was under, there was arrest warrant for them. He knew their involvement in terrorism, and he himself called him in. So it's very natural that one would deduct that there is a conspiracy here, that they wanted to implicate the government in an issue that would raise the tempo once again and raise tension between the Sunnis and the Shia, since lately we've seen a decline in sectarianism. We were talking of the United Current, which is a new party, political party, which compromised state of law, the alliance that I belong to, with Mr. Maliki belong to, with other groups, other Sunni groups, to create a national current to enter the general elections next year with a united front made from Shia, Sunnis, and even Kurds to pave the way for a democratic government away from a consensual government, to form the majority kind of government that is formed in other democracies. So the whole thing is very, very strange.
Well, I'm going to ask him momentarily about which leaders and politicians and which groups are actually being supported or connected to, for example, Saudi Arabia to keep this going, this friction. Edward Peck, when we look at Tariq al-Hashimi, the red carpet was given by Qatar and Saudi Arabia and by Turkey. And these are countries that are very active in the war on Syria. And of course, when we want to look at that as a whole block, of course, the U.S., U.K., and France are there. But in particular, the U.S. Doesn't the U.S. have a role in this, in which you say that they might have a say, but it won't be effective?
Well, you know, but how do you get someone, how would you get anyone, a person or a government, to stop doing something that they think is in their best interests to keep on doing? They can be wrong, don't misunderstand me, from every other point of view. But if you or I or somebody else believes that what I'm doing is in my best interests, it's going to be very hard for somebody else to talk me out of it. Now, you can threaten me, you can perhaps even force me, but if all you're going to do is say, don't do that, it's not smart, it's not good, when I know it is smart, and I'm going to keep on doing it. And your other guest, who impresses me with his knowledge and articulation, if there were, and I would hope there would be, a unified form of government coming from the next election, there might still be people on the fringes of those groups who would continue to pursue violence and anarchy in the purpose of advancing their own interests, which might not be in total accord with what the unified government is doing. That's the kind of problem that Iraq is facing now. And I, although I don't speak for the United States government, it's partly our fault for doing what we did, which I urged endlessly that we not do, fearing exactly what is happening was going to happen. So we take some blame, we have some responsibilities, but I do not think that we could do anything rational now to stop these other countries from interfering, short of using force, which I don't think we're going to do, I don't think we should do, and I'm not sure it would be in anybody's best interests if we did.
Unless, Saad al-Mutalibi, in closing, and quickly if you can, you mentioned at the beginning of the program that Iraq is going to align itself with certain elements in the region, basically in the context of defending and securing itself, the Maliki government securing itself. Is that a sense that war may be looming, which is a spillover from Syria? Quickly.
Well, to stop the war from spilling over and the trouble spilling over, I think the United States could do something here. That is by adding Iraq to the lobby or to the group that is deciding the fate of Syria. So Iraq, alongside with Turkey, Qatar, United States, France, Britain, Iraq should be involved in the detailed planning and the detailed information and the detailed circumstances that is ruling over Syria and support of insurgency or non-support of material or not, Iraq should have a seat.
Okay, we're going to unfortunately have to end it there. I am so sorry. We're fresh out of time.
I mean, we are
thank you very much,
Saddam
Matalabi. I apologize. Saddam Matalabi there from the State of Law Coalition. I'd also like to thank Edward Peck from Washington. He's a former U.S. Chief of Mission in Iraq. Thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. Any questions or comments, newsroom@presstv.ir is our email address. From Mikhail Tahvoy and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.